Hello, and welcome to the Loop Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Elise Steverman, Director of Marketing at Coegi. Let's get started.
All right, so today we're talking about 23 digital marketing trends and predictions that we have. I'm joined by Sean Cotton, Coegi's president, as well as Ryan Green, the Vice President of Marketing and Innovation. Welcome.
Hi, Elise.
Hey.
So I want to kick us off with talking a little bit about if any of your personal viewpoints about marketing or approaches to marketing have seen a big change over the course of the last year. Ryan, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I think's changed the most is really how important content actually is to media. For several years of my upbringing, we really talked about campaigns, campaign numbers, IOs, and target audiences. But it's so important in 2022 and going into 2023, the merging of media, audience, and automation with the content and the message. Those are things that have to be thought of together now, and they have to be part of the media buy. Leaning into publisher relationships, being able to lean into influencer relationships, sometimes as the creative agency in some ways, right? And I think this was happened during the pandemic, mm-hmm. where it was hard to go to production to build an old school campaign, but you were able to create content, you were able to write, you were able to leverage influencers, and the media agencies started to do a lot more of the work there. So I think that's something that's really changed my viewpoint this year as we start to answer the call up to our clients in that respect.
And I know you were just talking about earlier today how the world of marketing is changing very rapidly. I feel like content in particular, the shelf life has shortened quite a bit. And so the set it and forget it approach doesn't really function as well. Sean, what about you? Any changes to your personal viewpoints over the last year for marketing?
Yes, I was listening to Ryan. My thoughts are closely related to his in that, you know, leading up to the beginning of last year, there was still a lot of effective things that could be done in digital marketing around audience. Mm-hmm. And there still is, but that signal is becoming weaker and weaker progressively as people opt into browsers that don't support cookies and privacy laws and regulations. As a matter of fact, there was something today with the EU and Meta, mm-hmm. that poses some challenges there. So I think 2023, we saw the impact of audience targeted capabilities lessen a little bit, and moving forward, something which we expected, we just need to continue to lean into research, into content, as Ryan was discussing, and engagement, into tactics such as influencer and so forth, to make sure that we're really engaging our best customers throughout their journey and not relying on the easy button that we've talked about before.
Right. I feel like that links so perfectly with what you said, Ryan, in the sense that because the audience signal is weaker, the content has to work even harder to stop the scroll. The personalization is going to change quite a bit.
And I think what content is has changed a little bit too. We've seen success with shorter content. We've also seen success with long form content as well. So it's not just that the trope that the modern consumer has a 3 second attention span. That may be true because that's their attention span on TikTok, but that's not true when people are watching 30 minute videos on YouTube or reading 10,000 word articles on a client's website when they are in that middle funnel in an education phase. So content is really broad. It's a broad word, and it probably means more than creative does now. Creative is one of, creative campaign can be part of what content is, but it's not the only thing. And I think the modern media campaign, marketing campaign needs to take a longer lens on what content is, where it plays in the consumer journey, and how do we amplify that content to the right audience using the automated tools that we have at our discretion to be able to make that perfect mix to get to the ultimately the business goals that we're looking to achieve.
So I think that's a good segue to talk a little bit about some of the predictions that you all had at the start of this year. And Sean, you predicted that there would be more emphasis on short form video on social in particular, and that the creators universe is going to become even more important across multiple different platforms. So how did that play out in 2022?
Well, we certainly saw the growth in short form video production and distribution, the growth of TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and so forth. I don't think that brands have quite caught up yet with how to capitalize on utilizing short form video and telling their story. I mean, because that content needs to be tailored for each one of those platforms differently, right? So as opposed to the ad campaigns that Ryan was talking about earlier, to where we had a set creative and a set media plan and tactics and channel strategy, and we're like, this is what we're going to market with. The environment in social with the short form video requires us to be much more nimble and agile, to be sometimes less focused on quality and more on authenticity. Mm-hmm. And so it's changed the game in terms of content production. So I think part of that prediction is that, yes, you as users, we are demanding or we are engaging more with short form content in terms of marketing. Brands and agencies are still trying to catch up as to how to capitalize on that to engage consumers the way that they could.
And then Ryan, you made a prediction that the metaverse and augmented reality and virtual reality were going to be driving factors in brands' marketing plans. So from your perception, how has that played out throughout 2022?
It hasn't. not nearly to the effect that it could, at least not for most marketers. It has for gaming, it has in fashion, and I don't think anybody could have predicted some of the struggles that Meta would have had if those wouldn't have came to fruition. Maybe we are a little bit further along with some of the more Web3 things that I'm still bullish on long term that didn't come through this year. If I could revise my 2022 prediction, I would have leaned in more to retail media, which certainly has came on as a driving force. As the signal loss that Sean was talking about starts to happen in the open web and in open exchange, there's been a strengthening of signal from retailers, from their point of sale, from their media networks that savvy advertisers are really able to lean into and need to be a major part of lower funnel plans that CPG brands and a variety of industries need to be looking at.
And then I think that cues up this next one of, you know, you both predicted that the availability of consumer data was going to be more of a force in terms of ad quality and about how we measure marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to hear where you think that is going to be heading as we enter 2023.
You know, we spoke a lot about incrementality over attribution at the beginning of last year, and I was really surprised at how quickly that approach gained popularity over the course of the year, that a lot of other marketers were thinking the same way, is that the beauty of digital has always been that we could tie together touch points and show some sort of attribution on return on investment. And I expected that it would take a little bit longer for people to shift to, okay, maybe we need to go about this a little bit differently, even going back to the way we used to measure with an advanced form of media mix modeling and incrementality. So I think that prediction, if you will, I think really came to fruition right before our eyes in 2023. And I think moving forward, to answer your question, that we'll see savvy marketers become even more skilled at that, right? Because there's not a lot of doubt about whether that's the right approach right now among leading digital marketers. So really at this point, it's just about perfecting that approach and making it more meaningful when we deliver those reports or we deliver that analysis of our marketing campaigns.
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised that even with cookie deprecation delays that were announced, that brands and advertisers didn't fall back on click-based attribution, that they did still continue to put their money where their mouth was and lean into incrementality, even when they had an excuse to kick the can down. I think that also goes into reliance on audience targeting as well, because it's not just the browsers and the cookie deprecation, it was also legal and regulation that's coming. Sean had mentioned news that came out from the EU on Meta today that potentially is going to nullify personal ad targeting, period. Mm-hmm. And if that happens in the EU and that does get, that does become law there, that's going to have a trickle-down effect on several other areas of the globe as well. So it's good that brands are not using this delay as an excuse and are moving forward with what modern marketing is going to look like.
So then would you say that regulation is a top challenge that brands should be looking to tackle going into 2023? Or how should they be looking at the changes in the privacy landscape?
It depends where they're transacting.
Right.
They definitely need to be on more alert if they're operating in the European Union. The United States is still TBD. We have stronger regulation coming out of California, obviously, both from CCPA and child protection as well. So there's several different angles of it. But we have an idea of what's going to shape and take place. And it's actually an opportunity for brands to be able to take the moral high ground and to put a stake in the ground on what their values are as far as it pertains to data collection and regulation. They don't have to wait to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. They can make the decision themselves and, obviously in conjunction with their agency partners to continue to have great performance of their campaigns while still being able to have a clear definition of what's going to be safe for that brand in as it regards to data collection.
And I think we've really kind of moved past the point to where it's something that brands should be thinking about. What am I going to do about these regulations?
Yes.
We're past the point to where we should just be thinking about it. You know, at this point, we should be implementing some vetted best practices around data collection, data storage, and security, how we implement that on top of our marketing campaign. So if an advertiser was to find themselves in a place where they had all this first-party data and they're like, we really need to come up with a strategy about how we're going to use it, I would suggest that they reach out to a professional as soon as possible to help them with that.
So I'd like to hear one of your hard-hitting takes on something that marketers should retire leaving 2022 and going into 2023.
Well, this probably should have been done a couple years ago, but the reliance on Facebook as an easy button and as your primary social platform, Meta, generally, that needs to go. Not only has the world diversified in where our consumers' eyeballs are, but there's well-noted privacy regulations that Meta's really the center of in a lot of ways. Their stock went down 80% over the past 10 months for a reason. That's unprecedented. And if that's not a signal to advertisers that maybe that's not the one place that you want to bet on, that definitely should be it. But this should have happened. Advertisers should have been diversifying their social and digital media spend for a long time. iOS 14.5, I think, should have been a wake-up call to brands that were looking at last-click attribution, seeing how much shift there was in what the platform reported versus what their back-end sales were showing, to say, hey, like, you know, I'm very familiar with this platform, but this is not representative of the business results that we're looking for. There's not going to be an easy button. It's going to be challenging to create content that plays well on a half a dozen different social platforms and on dozens of different screens now. This is the time when the advertisers that do the hard work are going to be rewarded. And the ones that want to make it easy and simple are going to be downstream.
What about you, Sean?
I would have to, if I had to pick one thing, point to viewing CTV and OTT video as simply as a incremental video strategy. Mm-hmm. I think that historically, as it's been an emerging channel, going back to, say, 2018, is how it was been viewed of like, well, we're going to put our budget here in linear, as far as being on the big screen, and we're going to carve off maybe 5% of our budget for mm-hmm. CTV and OTT as an incremental part of the buy. And there's still a lot of marketers that approach it that way. Whereas if we do the analysis of reach and frequency of a CTV and an OTT buy versus a linear buy, when we buy that channel the right way, we can attain reach, a greater extent of reach, and a more manageable frequency. Mm-hmm. To whereas with linear, we get this high frequency oftentimes to a very small pool of linear TV watchers. And all the data shows of people that are cutting the cord and so forth. So thinking of CTV and OTT as an incremental tactic within our large screen video buy is it's really going against the data, if you will, that it should be an integral or a central part of advertising on the big screen, because it's one, it's so measurable, and it's also targetable to attain the appropriate reach and frequency goals. Now, linear TV still has its place without a doubt, but they need to be looked at in tandem.
And in fairness to many marketers that had those separated, the measurement was separated for those as well. Now you're seeing the Nielsens of the world coming together and saying, we're going to look at CTV and linear in the same language. We're going to transact on CPMs and not on GRPs. That's a big step to being able to compare those more in an apples to apples comparison. So because when there's two different measurements, they end up naturally going to different places. There's less excuse now with measurement partners that are able to translate both, not just Nielsen, but several others that are a pioneering measurement for TV. And you need to lean into that to be effective in 2023.
So in addition to changing the way TV and video in general is measured, what are some other big trends that you all are seeing in digital and programmatic marketing in general for 2023?
One of the big things that we're going to look at in 2023 is the emergence of retail media as maybe a primary vehicle for a digital marketing campaign. I think retail media, when you thought of Walmart Connect, let's say, that it's only emerged in the past 2 or 3 years with any real emphasis as something that was experimental or trial. But that's something that could be the backbone of a well-done CPG campaign, where social may be secondary or tertiary to that. That kind of really flips things on its head. So for certain industries, retail media being the lead and getting the lion's share of budget is something I wouldn't even imagined 12 months ago.
I would say one thing would be perhaps a redefining of what performance marketing and media is, especially as we go into what seems to be, a recession, changes, mm-hmm. from week to week. But whether that happens or not, every dollar matters even more so as time goes by with advertisers. And so all media needs to deliver some type of performance. Now, typically when you say performance media, performance marketing, people would think of search or lower funnel tactics to where you can see a direct conversion for every dollar that you spent. So typically, you know, marketers have thought of performance marketing as lower funnel tactics, search, retargeting, things to where we can directly tie a dollar to a conversion or some sort of action. But the facts are is that every marketing dollar needs to perform, and there's pressure on CMOs and CEOs to show return on all of their marketing investment. So marketers are challenged to provide that for all media to perform. Now, you're going to measure it differently. You're going to measure awareness differently than you're going to measure consideration or intent, but there needs to be some sort of accountability for that marketing. So I think a trend that we'll continue to see as marketers embrace incrementality and some of these other things that we've been discussing is looking at performance marketing with a wider lens.
I agree with that. And you know, one other thing that's came up this year that I haven't heard in years past that's of a high importance is sustainability and the effect that digital marketing can have on on our carbon footprint as well. You know, we're really starting to dive into supply path optimization, starting to think about having fewer touch points from the ad server to the consumer, to be able to really streamline our use of energy and use of computers. I think that's something that we're really going to see a lot of brands start to demand across every third-party partner, whether it's in marketing or not. And there are some low-hanging fruit and concrete things that we're able to do as an industry in tandem with our technology partners to demand greater accountability to the carbon footprint of our campaigns.
And then to wrap us up, I want to talk a little bit about the future of paid social and influencer going into 2023. Mm-hmm. I know that we've talked quite a bit amongst ourselves about the decline that Meta's experienced, but are there some other predictions that you all have that marketers should be looking out for?
There has never been a time since we started Coeggy that there's been so much headwind with social. Social has always been seen as a growth channel in every aspect of that, in the number of consumers that are on social, the amazing reach. But you have headline after headline coming from Meta's demise to Twitter has 70% less staff. We're having challenges getting anybody's attention there for basic campaign needs. Mm-hmm. TikTok is not going to run in the way that it is forever with government regulation coming against China there. Mm-hmm. So, and even in the influencer space, I think you're starting to see Gen Z and Gen Alpha, which is starting to get cell phones at some point here too, rebelling against this perfect lifestyle that the prototypical influencer showcases. You're seeing less and less time really being given to those platforms to the point where there's a lot of headwinds there. So a lot of those platforms have made it very easy to have great reach. And in some ways, this actually may be an opportunity to do a little bit more on social. The 1.5 billion, or maybe it's even more than that, but the billions of logins that Facebook has is not suddenly going away. And there's plenty of people that still use those platforms. There needs to be balance. You need to have balance in your social strategy next to every other screen that you're able to target as well, next to linear and traditional media as well. I think balance is going to be a calling card for 2023. The brands, like the D2C playbook, that really goes heavy into search and social first, I think they're going to be at a disadvantage if they don't think about all the places that it takes to be able to garner people's attention. Attention is still the number one commodity that we're looking to harness as marketers. It is harder. It is still harder and harder to gain that attention, and you're going to have to be a lot more creative, both in the way that we message audiences and the placement of those ads, to be able to garner the attention that's needed to be able to be competitive.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here today, and excited to see how it plays out in 2023.
Let's see.
Thank you for listening. Kwegi is an industry-leading performance marketing agency based in the Midwest. We've learned a lot since our founding in 2014 and started the Loop Marketing Podcast to share some of our hot takes on marketing trends we're following, best practices we've discovered, and actionable tips for improving your digital strategy. We'll see you next time.